Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo!
So today we have one of my favorite episodes that we do called the Student Pastor Hot Seat. It is when we call a student pastor, ask them five questions, put them on the hot seat, so to speak. It's rapid fire student ministry in the trenches type of information. It is momentum filled, these questions.
Indeed. And they're actually in their own seat in the trenches. They have not even left the trenches to be on our podcast.
No, that's right.
It's still in the midst of the trenching.
it's not in studio. This is a phone call. And on the line joining us today is the high school pastor from First Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Cody Mather. Cody, what's up, man?
What's going on?
So I'm going to turn it over to you for just a few minutes, and you can tell everybody whatever you want about yourself. So you can do the self-intro now. We've already given your place of service, but let us know, like, how long you've been in student ministry, family stuff, all of those good things.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm really bad at first impressions. I've been told that multiple times.
How does that conversation go? You say hello, and then somebody goes, you know, that was terrible.
You know, you just get to know people over time, and then they're like, you know, when we first met, I don't know how we were going to get along. And then you start finding out you're really bad at first impressions. So I don't know. But I'm the high school pastor at First Baptist Hendersonville. Been here since April of 2017. My wife and I were native Texans, so kind of grew up in the Houston area. Been in student ministry for about 10 years now, and man, loving every minute of it. But like I said, we moved from Texas to Tennessee a little over a year ago in a new role with a new church and a new team, but we're loving it. But my wife and I currently, we are in the process of starting our family through adoption, so things are about to look very different here for us. Coming October is when our birth mother's expected due date is coming around. So we're starting this new journey for us.
Congratulations, man.
Thank y'all.
So about a month and a half away from the
46 days.
46 days. Not that you're counting. 46.
Not that I'm counting or anything. So.
Dude, that is fantastic. 46 days away from that huge moment in y'all's lives. Well, we will definitely be praying for y'all, praying for birth mom and
awesome.
And the coming baby. So that'll be cool.
We appreciate that. We need it all.
So native Texans, but here's the thing. Like, I've never picked up from you like the Texas superiority complex.
Yeah. No, I love Texas. Like, I really do. I'm proud to be from Texas. But you know, I don't have the accent that comes from Texas. Like my wife does. She sounds like she's from the sticks. and I just don't. She thought I was from California. So, you know, I love Texas, but I don't, you know, I think it's a great state, but I'm not like one of those, you know, Texas over everything else.
Yeah. Is there anywhere in your house where a giant star is used as a decoration on your wall?
Yes. But, yeah, it's not like one of those Western type stars, right? Like Jordan bought it at Hobby Lobby and it has like the lights that light up past 5 p.m., those kind of things. So it's not like super Texas.
Okay, there you go. Well, yeah. We will jump right into the hot seat questions of the day. I mean, man, one of the reasons why I love this kind of episode on the podcast so much is because the audience gets to hear what is happening in real time right now in another student ministry. And while student ministries have different contexts all over the place, and students are, you know, different from different place to different place, that there are a lot of things that happen that are in common. And so we love to celebrate, and we love to hear about challenges, and we love to do all of those things and give other student pastors an opportunity to hear from somebody who's in it every single day like they are. So here's question number one. What is your main focus in ministry right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we are right now, we've put a lot of time and effort into our Wednesday nights that we have. So we just rebranded Wednesday nights at our church for our high school ministry. And so over the last, I would say probably 8 months, we've been talking about what can we do with our Wednesday nights that can make it better, that can get more students engaged, that can create an atmosphere where people just get excited about Jesus. And so we just kicked off our Wednesday nights. This Wednesday will be our third Wednesday, but 2 Wednesdays ago, where we kicked off a new Wednesday night with a new theme, a new name for it, new kind of theme verse of what we're trying to accomplish in those things. So a lot of our effort and energy, kind of as a team and as a student ministry, has been focused on our Wednesday nights.
What, just as a follow-up question there, what are some things that you saw? So you mentioned that you've been at your church since April 2017. What are some things that you saw that gave you the moment of like, okay, we need to rebrand, we need to refocus what we're doing on Wednesday night? Like, for somebody that may be considering that, what are some things that happened that led you to that saying, yes, we need to re-envision this thing?
Yeah, so I wanted to be careful when I first came in to Hendersonville, because honestly, it's an amazing church. We've got a lot of great leaders that have been there for a long time. And honestly, the machine itself was working well, right? Like Wednesday nights were running. We had people that were doing what they were needing to do. And so when I first came in, I didn't want to make any immediate changes until I'd kind of observed everything kind of just laid out before me. But over, the last year, I could kind of see that we just kind of got monotonous. Things were just kind of in a groove and students were used to it. There wasn't a lot of just different elements happening on Wednesday nights. And to my, from my vantage point, it looked like things were just kind of getting apathetic from our leaders to our students, just kind of our organization as a whole. We were just okay with where we were at. We kind of began to be complacent and just say, hey, I'm okay with how things are run. I'm okay with how many people that we have coming on Wednesday night. I'm okay with not really inviting my friends to this. Like, as long as my people are here, like, I'm okay with that. And so I'd seen, not that those things are necessarily bad things in themselves, but it just created this atmosphere, just apathy. And it was driving me crazy for a little bit, if I'll be honest.
All right. So here's question number two. What's something you're learning?
Well, like I said earlier, we've been in the adoption process for like, it's going on 5 months. And so Jordan and I, my wife, don't have any children of our own. And honestly, outside of saying, you know, becoming married and starting that new transition in our life, this is honestly the biggest transition for us. But it's been a really edifying process for us. And it's not things that we're learning that are new about God, but just reminders that I think we've been needing to be reminded of. Like one, that he's our provider. In this process, right, we're having to raise certain funds or just trust in his provision for the child that he has for us. And so we've just been reminded that, man, God provides things to those who are obedient to him. It's renewed our trust in him. Not that our trust was ever taken away, but man, that we can trust him in any situation of our life, whether good or bad. He's ultimately in the midst of it. But I would say probably the biggest thing that I've been learning right now, just in my own life through this process, and as I've been reflecting on this journey that we've had, is through this process, what happens is, you know, birth mothers will receive your profile when you say yes to their case, and they'll either say yes, we would love for you to, you know, parent potentially our child, or they'll say no and choose another family and things like that. But as I'm reminded, like, to me, this adoption is one of the greatest, at least images of the gospel, I think, that you can get, one of the closest images of the gospel that you can have. And so as I'm reminded, right, like in this process, my wife and I have told birth mothers in these cases no, depending on certain situations, and vice versa. They've told us no as well. But something that I've just been reminded of who God is ultimately when he adopts people into his kingdom and into his family, he doesn't tell anybody no, right? Like, God doesn't tell anybody no to come into his kingdom. There's no certain stipulations or certain standards that he sets that says, listen, you can't come into salvation. You can't come into my kingdom. And so what that's done for me is kind of just reminding me, even in life, is to be as inclusive, as accepting and inviting as I can to everybody. But even in ministry, like I think every student ministry, or even ministry in general, kind of has those group of students that they can probably think of who is like the island of misfit toys, right? Like you just go, man, they're out there. They're the anomaly. They're the outliers or whatever. But what I'm reminded, like, man, those are the people that, like, Jesus spent his almost entire 3 years of ministry following and engaging. And I think I was reminded of that from Bob Goff at the Student Pastor Summit here not too long ago. Just don't avoid the people that Jesus spent engaging his entire life. And so through this kind of adoption process, I'm just reminded that God doesn't say no to anybody, to come into his family. And so to engage as many people through whatever life, say, whatever personality they have, whatever kind of person they are, that, man, God loves them and wants to engage them. And he even engaged me when I was an outlier, when I wasn't into his family. And so I've been really thankful for that reminder.
Man, that's such a, as a somebody else that's been through the adoption process and in it now with you as well, that picture really is so powerful. And it did the same thing for me. I feel like adoption really changed the way that I read scripture. It changed the way that I preached, changed the way that I gave invitations. I mean, it's very much driving home that message of the gospel in such a clear way. And especially, man, I can't wait for you guys to bring home this little baby.
Yeah.
Because as you grow in your connection with that baby, it just gets even more real with every single day how that baby is being, you know, you're literally walking through the bonding process and getting to know that child, and they're just kind of, they grow and grow and grow into, like, it's that picture of being grafted into the vine. Like, man, you're just being woven into our family with every passing day. It's a, man, it's an imagery that's just, it, there, I don't think there's anything else like it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. Well, man, thank you for being willing to share and get personal on that and open up a little bit. We really appreciate your willingness on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, for number three, where do you see God moving the most right now?
Yeah, so I think when it pertains to ministry, I'd mentioned earlier, but our Wednesday nights, we're just seeing God do some really, really cool things among our adult leaders, among our student leaders, and just even among our students in general. Like I said, over the last, we've had two Wednesday nights since we had our kickoff, and we saw a student get saved the first night. Then we saw another student get saved the second Wednesday night, and then this Wednesday, they're showing their belief in Christ through baptism. Hmm. But even on top of that, just the entire atmosphere in the room, it's just done a 180 degree just change. And we're seeing students engaged in worship. We're seeing students respond to God's word, whether that be through salvation or whether that just be through realizing the need that they need to be prayed over, or they need to lay something down, or they need to be, they felt convicted and were actually repenting of their sins. And so we're just seeing a new culture being created on Wednesday nights. And it's just been really, really cool to see that. And I'm just really thankful that God's even let me and our student team just be a part of that, that he's allowed us to join us with him on this vision that he has.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I would ask, just as a quick follow-up, for, you know, obviously God moves and he does it and he brings increase and all of those kinds of things, but at the same time empowers his people to work and plow and all of that kind of stuff. So in terms of preparation and just like super practical things, what are some things that you have done and that you guys have done as a team to kind of set the stage for this to take place. What are some things that you were very intentional about in kind of reshaping that Wednesday night and getting it ready for it to do now what God is choosing to do?
Yeah, there was a ton of preparation and things that had taken place before, because if we would just immediately laid out these changes within the office, right? Like we would have just talked with this as a staff and just laid it out with any of our leaders or our students or anything like that. No, it would just been chaos. And so something that I had to do was build equity among relationships with some of our leaders and some of our students and adults who are involved in our ministry beforehand, so that I know that they were on our side and they could get behind the vision that I felt like God was leading us to. And so a lot of just honestly, like went out to dinners with different leaders, had sit down conversations or over the phone with different leaders to kind of begin to convey this vision. And so they saw the importance of that. So they got on board with that. But then also, you know, it's ultimately a student ministry, and a student ministry runs off of students. And so before we told any adults or anything like that, we sat down with our student leadership team and began to walk through this process and lay the groundwork of the vision with them. And you know, at some points there was some resistance because, you know, people just get used and they were used to what was happening and they were emotionally invested to what was happening. But we couldn't just help that God was up to something new. And so we unpacked that for them. And they got on board with it. And once they got on board with it, it began to spread across to the other students and things like that. And so really when we unveiled this, we unveiled the new theme of our Wednesday nights and kind of where we were going at our camp this past summer. And I was honestly a little nervous because I thought it might've been met with some hostility. But the entire room was excited and applauded. And they were just ready for what God was about to do with something new. But it took a lot of building in relationships and a lot of honestly language to our leaders, our student and adults, of just trying to create a new culture with some new language and things that we're doing. Cause we haven't ripped out the old model of what we've done with Wednesday nights, but it's creating a new culture and a new mindset of why Wednesday nights are important and their role to be a part of it. We've given them more ownership. We've given them more of a voice. And so I think once someone takes ownership of it, they're a little bit more invested in it. And so it's just been a big win for us.
So you've said several times that you're changing the culture there. Do you have any, like, as you're thinking through, hey, this is what this is going to look like for the next little bit, is all of that pointing to other pieces of ministry that you want that to speak into or to influence on a culture level?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the goal for us would be that Wednesday nights would honestly infiltrate every part of our student ministry, more than just Wednesday nights, but also into Sunday mornings, into the way that students are living their lives at school, the way that students are engaging their peers or their homes or their, you know, their neighborhoods, right? So like our theme of what we're doing is, it's John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And for me, this is the ideal life of a believer. The constant rhythm in the life of any Christian should be death to self and glorification of God, that God should be highly glorified and God first in everything that's going on in their life. And so we're pounding that on Wednesday nights as much as possible. And the goal is to see that played out in their lives Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's strong.
Number four, what are you preaching through right now?
Yeah, so we are in a sermon called Young Bloods, and we're looking specifically at 1 Timothy 4:12, where Paul encourages and challenges Timothy, and he says pretty much, don't let anyone despise you because of your youth, or don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth, but set an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. And so what we're just trying to convey to the students is that God wants to use them here and now in the stage that they're in, in the youth that they're in, And so specifically in these five areas, how can you be setting an example of your faith to those around you and to those that you impact? And so, right, with our speech and our conduct and our faith, our love and our purity, how are we setting an example to our peers and in our home of our relationship with Jesus?
So when you put together your preaching schedule, do you guys work through this like sermon series by sermon series, or do you plan out months at a time? Do you do like a 1 year theme? How do you guys approach that?
Yeah, so I think it's changed over time as I've, you know, kind of just been in ministry. I used to just kind of go, all right, here's the sermon series that I want to hit this week or for whatever weeks, and then kind of as it's going on, all right, here's where I think we should go next. But really, since I've been here, I've been trying to be a little bit more organized and a little bit more intentional where we have our sermon series. And so we try to have at least one semester, if not both semesters, mapped out with a sermon series and where we want to go. And what we're trying to do is, how can we be as intentional as possible in that season with what we're teaching to our students? So like I said, we mapped out this past year, at least we have this entire semester mapped out with where we're going sermon series wise. So we've got three sermon series for this semester alone that we're going to walk through with our students.
And then do those reach into whatever events you're doing? Do you stay inside that scope and sequence for events, or do those stand outside of that?
So like if we have a specific event, like a D-Now weekend, or even we have late night events twice a semester where we try to have evangelistic outpush, things like that. They don't necessarily merge to those events. So it might be something completely different because like a late night event, we're hoping that our students invite their friends to come to these things, one, to have fun, but also to hear the gospel. So that night would specifically, listen, we're just going to share the gospel and pray that the harvest would be brought forward. But then on like RD Now weekends, we mix between high school and middle school. So we combine those together. And so then Jeff and I are looking together, what is a word or what is something that we think our entire student ministry needs to hear as a whole? So our Wednesday night sermon series are going to be different than our events might be.
So here's your last question. What's the best thing you've done for self-development lately?
Yeah, I would say something that's been, I think, really good for just me developmentally right now would probably be being a part of a Connect group, and that's what we call our Sunday school classes. I don't get to be a part of one on Sunday just because of my schedule and things that are going on, but my wife and I, we've made it a priority for us to get plugged into one on a weekday, to be around people our age and who are kind of going through similar lifestyles as we are, and just the transition of where they're at in their life. And so it's good because I don't necessarily have to lead it. I don't have to prepare for it as much as I would a Wednesday or a Sunday or things like that. I just kind of get to be me and my wife, and we kind of get to be poured into, but also we get to find people who we get to hang out with. And that's just been really, really good for us, and really honestly just edifying to myself and to my spirit.
Man, that's so good, because that right there is something that I think, you know, this is going to be a statistic made up on the spot right now, so I'll just say majority. I think
9 out of 10.
Yeah. I think a majority of student pastors miss out on that small group environment. I know it's something that I missed out on, and I know that it's something that a lot of people, you know, just because, like you said, Sunday's not an option, right?
Nope.
For a lot of people, and for you, it's not. So, man, it's so cool to hear taking the extra step and saying, hey, this is something we need. This is something we need as a husband and a wife and in relationships with other people. And I think that's something that a lot of ministry leaders forsake in the pursuit of leading ministry.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons too. It can be sometimes scary to go into a community group setting like that, where you know there's an expectation of building community, which means that there's some level of vulnerability that you're going to want to offer up. And sometimes it's tempting to say, oh, well, I can't be vulnerable in front of these people. I'm the ministry leader. You know, if I let them know there's gaps in my walk, then they're not going to trust me leading, and a thousand other excuses that could get in the way that me and my wife have made along the way. We've probably used every excuse. But yeah, man, I'm glad that you guys are plugged in that way. That's good. So healthy.
Yeah, man. For sure. Cody, thank you so much. This we're going to officially take you off of the hot seat now.
Come on.
So, man, I appreciate you giving some time to come talk with us and to pour into other student ministry leaders that are going to be listening to the podcast. Man, I feel like there was a ton of great stuff packed into this to this podcast that student ministry leaders are going to walk away with and be encouraged by, challenged by. So thank you for giving the time.
Yeah, thank y'all for letting me come be a part of it. I appreciate it.
This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I want to say thank you for listening each and every week to the podcast. You guys are awesome for doing that. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be able to do this for you. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Cody Mather on the hot seat. Look forward to doing more of those in the future on the podcast. So be looking out for those as well as the other episodes that are coming up. If you haven't taken time to leave a rating and review, we would love for you to go and do that real quick at the end of this podcast. While you're there, hit that subscribe button and we will see you next time.